just after 8 o'clock. Fast Eddie Chiasso, happy to be with you this morning in the big chair behind the big microphone for the great Chris Stegall, who will be back with you live on July 5th. So again, I think I said this at the show's open. I hope Chris is not listening. I hope he's sleeping. Right? 610-850-0990 is the number. 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. And I have a very special guest and co-host for this hour. Victoria, are you excited?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. You look excited.
I'm also half awake, but it's getting better.
It's a dark hour, but here we are. Guy Shiraki, how are you, sir?
Good morning, and I am awake.
You are awake. Okay, good.
That's good.
No, always, and we appreciate it. Guy ran for Congress in 2022, but we fought the fight for Pennsylvania, him specifically, Chesco, and much, much more as the president and CEO at the time of the, I got to get this right, it's a long name. It's not just Chamber of Commerce, it's Chamber of Business and Industry. Chamber of Business and Industry, that's right. So we fought the good fight against who was then Governor Tom Wolf, and now we have Governor Josh Shapiro. Oh, boy. Well, I have some things to say about Josh Shapiro, but...
Take it away.
you might remember this, I will totally apologize if I'm incorrect here, but I remember last year I tweeted, I think, daily, trying to remind parents that someone like Josh Shapiro, someone that is that influenced and that funded by the teachers' unions, not just locally. I mean, he's got Randy Weingarten money, too. He's got a lot of money. I'm saying there is no possible way Josh Shapiro would be for school choice. So it just became a daily tweet. I remember, I'd open up Twitter and say, Josh Shapiro is not for school choice. Reminder, Josh Shapiro is not for school choice. And then Corey DeAngelis, a friend of this show, he's from the American Federation for Children, not teachers, very important to distinguish that. He writes an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal saying that Josh Shapiro is for school choice. Look, it's on his website. He does a whole op-ed. And I'm like, Chris, I brought it immediately to Chris. I'm like, this can't be real. Why would Corey say this? So I texted Corey and he's like, well, read his website. So I read his website. I'm like, that's not going to happen. So anyway, all this to say, Josh Shapiro is not for school choice. And then on Friday, I'm sitting at my desk and old Joshy pops up on Fox News. Now, this is a slick politician, folks. He used this I-95 whole ordeal. He used all the media coverage from that. And Fox News had some questions about school choice, and I couldn't believe it. Here we go.
I did want to ask you about the nation's report card that came back this week. Education in this country, to me, this should be like the biggest news, that we are backsliding in so many different places. I know education is big to you. One of the ways that you're addressing it is providing some school choice vouchers. That's not going over so well with some people in your state. Just show a couple of things here from the Pennsylvania State Education Association president, the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers president, the Education Voters PA executive director, all saying that they are disappointed in you for supporting these school choice vouchers. What would you say to them as to why you think it's important?
Well, let me just say in general, I believe every child of God deserves a shot here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And one of the best ways we can guarantee their success is making sure every child has a quality education. I've been very clear that I'm open to that concept that you described a moment ago, but I've also made crystal clear that I won't take a dollar out of our public schools in order to achieve that. We've got to invest more in our children, not less. And so I want to make sure we give, as I said, every child of God an opportunity to be successful. I think education is key to that. Public safety is key to that. Growing our economy is key to that. All three of those things fit together to give us an opportunity to make sure everyone has a chance to succeed here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
We certainly have to do that. Well, you're going to see no end of politics in your state over
that's
the next.
Enough. That's enough. I've heard enough. Okay. First of all, Guy Shiraki, child of God, who put that in his note cards on his prompter there? One. And two, is he serious? Is this for real?
Josh Shapiro is a politician. He is also a dad, and people who know him well know that he is serious about his faith and that he takes his faith seriously and he respects it of others. I think that that was a moment of him being a dad. I think he understands that he's governor, of course, and that responsibility. But I think what you saw came through. Look, he spoke as passionately as any politician of any party on this issue. He's hit on all the major issues. He understood and he spoke about the value of every child and the important role that education plays. And there he went on national television to say it. So why is he doing it? One is, I think he told you why. He believes that every child needs a chance to succeed. And the Pennsylvania Department of Education, not Fox News, not any right-wing organization, the Pennsylvania Department of Education ranks schools. Some schools are consistently at the bottom, and those children have to be given a chance to go someplace to succeed. There's a second reason. He's on the heels of I-95. He's become a national celebrity for getting something done. He now has the opportunity to be a national celebrity again for doing something historic. If they do Lifeline scholarships, this will be the most important piece of education legislation in three decades. This will be the most impactful piece of legislation since the creation of charter schools. He knows that. He has the ability to help people. He has the ability to help children trapped in failing schools. And I think he's going to do everything in his power to reach a bipartisan agreement to make history. And those children's lives will be impacted as early as this fall. I think he's sincere, and I hope the Republicans meet him halfway and we get it done.
When you say Lifeline scholarship, so this is something I wanted to bring up that Chris actually raised last week. So typically in these situations, at least as it's been presented in the past, only certain children will receive this Lifeline scholarship. Are they leaving out kids that may be in a higher demographic area? Like, are they leaving anybody out of this, or does this cover all of Pennsylvania's school kids?
This would cover every child in the bottom 15% in the school district. So there are 500 school districts, and I won't try not to bore everybody with the numbers, but there are 500 school districts. So the bottom 75 districts, if your child goes to one of those schools, you would be eligible to have your state funding go with you to the school of your choice. The money would follow the child. If a parent wants to send their student to another school, they would be able to use that state funding. And I would hope that everybody, regardless of party, regardless of ideology, recognizes that children who are forced because of where they live to go to schools that are abject failures, those children should be rescued and allowed to go somewhere else. That's the best interest of those children. It's the best interest of you and me, regardless of where you live. If you live in the best school district in the state, it's in your interest that every child get to a school that works. This will do it. That's the point behind it. It is a lifeline to rescue these kids.
Okay, and Josh Shapiro is for it. So then I after all of this, after all my years of 12 years, at least last year, of tweeting, this is not a Democrat position. This they are fighting this. Randy Weingarten's fighting this at the national level. The biggest charge I hear whenever I tweeted that Josh Shapiro wasn't for school choice was, oh, okay, so you just want to keep church and state together? You want to use my funds to send a kid to a religious school? No. So all the talking points were intact leading up to this moment. So I have to ask the why. Why is Josh Shapiro? You said it briefly in the beginning. This is a national moment. I guess I don't believe you. I'm just a little skeptical guy, as you can imagine.
Well, as President Reagan used to say, trust but verify. When we're all sitting at the table and you have one of those moments where the governor is signing this bill with the governor's pen, we'll all see it happen. We have the opportunity to do it. The Republicans in the Senate have said this is their number one issue. The governor has said on national and local television and newspaper this is his issue that he's for. His Secretary of Education nominee said it yesterday before getting confirmed, at which time the Republicans voted for the nominee. Some Democrats said no, but State Senator Tony Williams from Philadelphia chastised his fellow Democrats. And he said, those of you who live in districts that work have no idea what the children in Philadelphia face. Walk in my shoes. I'm there for them. That's why I think it's this moment. Look, Governor Shapiro had school choice for himself. Governor Shapiro and his wife have exercised school choice for their children. I think he understands that every parent should have that choice. And the last thing I'll say is this. I'm old enough to remember school choice was never a partisan issue. Through the 80s and 90s and the early 2000s, the reason we have charter schools, the reason we have education scholarships is that it was bipartisan. It's only the last 10 years where it's become red versus blue. Governor Shapiro and the Republicans in Harrisburg have the opportunity to take this issue and put it back where it's always been, a bipartisan child-focused issue. Lifeline is a perfect place to start. It's the poorest children in the worst schools. If we can't agree to rescue them, when will we ever find a way to come together? I think this is a historic moment, and I think they're going to do it, but it's going to take a lot of us making some calls and emails and nudging to get them over the finish line.
So, for instance, my state rep, Tariq Khan, who just replaced, you might know this name, Pam DeLisio, I'm in Roxborough. And Pam DeLisio was very popular. She was a very popular Democrat, but she got replaced by someone much more radical in Tariq Khan. I'm guessing someone like him is not going to be a yes on school choice. I'm guessing my senator, state senator, Sharif Street, I'm guessing someone like that is not going to be a yes on. So I guess the better question is, I like singling those people out because I like to call them out when I have the microphone. So how does this work? Where do we go from here? He says he's in. PA Republicans say they're in. Let's meet. Let's talk. So can you walk us through this process? How does it get done if you say it's going to start this fall?
Sure. So the governor's for it. The Senate has 50 members. The overwhelming majority of Republicans and Democratic members like State Senator Tony Williams are going to provide extra votes. So I think the support in the Senate is overwhelming. The House is probably a handful of votes away. How do we get it done? I think we go back to recent Philadelphia history, which is there have been legislators who represent communities where parents already exercise choice in South Philly, Northeast Philly, Roxborough. And then what we do to get over the finish line is the Sherelle Parker Coalition. The people who come from the building trades, the people who come from the areas of the highest crime and the highest poverty, the people that help Sherelle Parker win this primary, that coalition, those legislators, they don't have time to spout progressive ideology. Yes. They don't have time for philosophy. Their kids are in dangerous schools, schools that are failing them. Those parents want their kids moved. Those legislators will respond to it. We just need to help push them over the finish line. That's the coalition that gets this done.
Okay, and then when will the Senate vote on it, and when will the House vote on it, and when does it get to the governor's desk?
Pennsylvania's Constitution tells them they have to pass a budget by midnight Friday. Occasionally, they run a little overtime, like kids having to get done a term paper. Our hope is before July 4th. How wonderful a symbol.
Oh.
Our hope is that by July 4th, this will become the law in Pennsylvania. And this fall, parents will be empowered to pick new schools for their kids. Tens of thousands of lives will be changed. It's an exciting time, but there's a lot of heavy lifting in the next week.
So that's just to get it done. Now you have the implementation of it. So, Guy, I bring you back to COVID. Remember when all the people, sadly, I'm not saying this in jest. This is very serious. A lot of people were unemployed. And they had to turn to the state for unemployment, and the state could not handle those requests. So now we get through July 4th, and the legislation signed, we're ready to go. And then now people have to request, do they have to request these Lifeline scholarships?
So they would request them by simply registering their student at another school, and then the state funding. So if you think of it sort of if you pay your bills online, instead of sending your money to ABC, you send it to DEF. You know, if you've changed car insurance, you no longer send to insurance company A, you send it to B. That's what this would be. So Mr. and Mrs. Jones, who live in Southwest Philly, used to send their children to such and such high school. They changed from John Bartram High School to West Catholic High School. You just indicate to the state and it goes. Look, it's fairly simple. And here's the thing. If you tell 10, 20, 50,000 parents that their kids get to go somewhere else and some bureaucrat in Harrisburg messes it up, don't get in front of those moms. Those moms will make sure. If you're wondering whether the money will make it to the school and the kids get to enter there, the moms will make sure the money gets to where their children are and those kids are not leaving the new school. These parents have worked too hard and pushed too hard.
Okay, so then I have to make a list of, I have to get outside of my sister's fiance calls it the Philly bubble, but since he's known me, he's just like, it's the Roxborough bubble. So I have to get out of the Roxborough bubble, I have to find out these other reps, and I will, the next time I speak about this issue, I will have that information for all of you to make those calls, because you said something very important, the Sherelle Parker contingent is strong, that's real Philadelphians. That's the difference. That was the difference in the mayoral election. What put Sherelle Parker over the top was real Philadelphians voting for her, not these people that they've shipped in to put this very, very progressive agenda, something that is not on board in any way with something like school choice.
Right. The people who live in the real world, the people who understand crime, the people that have to send their kids to school, the parents who literally are grateful each day when their son or daughter walks in having to walk back from school because the crime is bad. These are the people who are waiting for chance, they're waiting for choice. Look, right now, as we sit here today, there are 40,000 children on waiting list to go to charter schools that would like to be somewhere else. There were nearly 70,000 children that wanted to use the existing charitable scholarship programs to switch schools. There are 100,000 children in Pennsylvania whose parents or guardians want them to be somewhere else. There is pent-up demand. This bill, this lifeline, will save most, if not all, of those children. The demand is there, and I, like you, will be happy to thank all the people who will have surprised us and done the right thing. And we will have created a brand new historic bipartisan coalition on education. And then we know that it's permanent. And then we can go on and trying to save more and more kids. But we can do something historic. We have 1 week to get it done. I'm optimistic, but I've seen Lucy pull the ball from Charlie Brown before, so we've got to make sure we get it done.
And then that's something that he, remember, Josh Shapiro is very, very artful with his words. Every appearance that he makes is planned. So he did say everything remains, all the funding for public schools, all of that remains intact. And I just want to take, not issue with that, but like understand that this court ruling, what was it, the Commonwealth Court ruling, oh my gosh, earlier this year, 2023.
Well, the fair funding.
Yes, yes. So that all stays. So like there's no give on. So in other words, let's just say the state has $5 billion and they increase the budget. Now we have to fund. Mm-hmm. The court made it so that you have to increase the funding in different areas for public schools, right?
The court said that the funding is not equal or equitable, and find a way to fix this because the test scores are down. I would argue, and many of us would argue, that Lifeline is doing the sort of thing the judge exactly wants them to do. Find a way to help kids get out of bad situations so they get a fair education. I would argue that they're doing this. By the way, if in fact 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 children leave Philadelphia Public Schools to go elsewhere, there's a ton of money left over for a district. The Philadelphia School District has 110,000 kids. If 5, 10, 20,000 of them leave and go somewhere else, there's tons of money left over to take for the remaining kids. Look, and here's the thing. Not only does common sense tell us that both the kids who leave and the kids that stay work, not only does common sense tell us, every single study of every major city that's done this, Milwaukee, Washington, D.C., proves it. Every child wins. If we do Lifeline, we make history. If we do Lifeline, we rescue kids. If we do Lifeline, we do all those things, and we meet what the judge asked us to do. Give every child an equal chance to succeed.
All right, Guy Shirok, yeah, that was when we spoke yesterday, I said, you're going to have to convince me. I am very wary of all things Josh Shapiro. I'll just admit it. I'm not a fan. Not a fan. Never really have been. It was a long gubernatorial fight that you actually were a part of at one point. But all right, you've convinced me. So then I guess the next steps folks, and I have to find out my other reps that surround me, but I'm guessing my rep Tariq Khan will not do it, but I will show you proof, Guy. I will send him a letter, and I will make a phone call because this is extremely important. I will do so, I promise.
It takes 1 minute. If you Google who is my state legislator, there is a link on the Pennsylvania State webpage. You type in your address and your zip code. It will give you them and their email address. Don't do it now because you're listening to the show and waiting for everything we say. But yes, the minute this broadcast ends, as we go to commercial, you can do that. And in 1 minute, you can find your state rep and your state senator, and their email addresses will come up. You can send them a note. Please vote for Lifeline. Rescue the children of Philadelphia. We can make a major difference. You spend 2 minutes of your time, send a note. Let's flood their email inboxes. Call them. Some of you live in Philly. You can walk by their offices. Poke your head in. Tell them, do the right thing. Create history. Pass Lifeline scholarships. Rescue these children.
All right. That's Guy Shiraki, my co-host for this hour. And we actually have a very special guest up next on the line that Guy was able to arrange for us. Tamika, I'm going to butcher this. I'm sorry, Guy. It's Nawala Pena. Nawala Pena. I got it. So Tamika Nawala Pena, she is a mother. She has 5 kids, youngest 2 in grade school. Her daughter Grace, 8th grade, Caleb in 6th. She's going to speak to us next about what Lifeline would mean for her. So stay tuned. I'm Fast Eddie Chiazzo, along with Guy Shiraki, in for Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. .32 on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. Fast Eddie Chiazzo in for Chris, along with Guy Shiraki. This special 8 o'clock hour, I want to say brought to you by, but it's just Josh Shapiro. Now so we're talking Lifeline scholarships. So we have something very special treat for everybody. And Guy, I really appreciate you bringing in Tamika. I'm going to pronounce this right. Nawala Pena. Ha-ha! Tamika Nawala Pena, she is a mother, 5 kids in the school district of Philadelphia. And Tamika, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate you taking some time to speak with Guy and myself. And actually, Guy, since you're co-hosting this hour, I'd like you to take it away, if that's all right.
Sure. Good morning, Tamika. Nice to talk to you by phone or over the radio.
Good morning, Guy. How you been?
I'm doing well, thanks. So
great.
What I had shared with Eddie and what I hope you can share with your listeners is I was so impressed when we met in person. Mm-hmm. With your story. So let's just share with the listeners some brief background, bring them up to speed, where you live in Philadelphia and the ages of your children, particularly the younger ones who are still in grade school.
Sure, no problem. Well, my family and I, we live in the East Falls section of Philadelphia. And my 2 younger children, they both are students at the Jesu School. Grace Nawala Pena is in the 8th grade. Grace is 12. And Caleb Nawala Pena is in the 6th grade. And Caleb is 11.
And so with your children, you did a lot of research because you decided the local public schools were not the answer. So talk about, if you would, why you decided you needed to get them to be somewhere else and the work you had to put in to find a school that would be the right safe place for them.
Oh, that's such a great question. You know, thank you for this opportunity to be able to share because I hope it encourages other families. But I will say that for myself and my siblings, we were very blessed to have the opportunity for us to, you know, not to necessarily attend the neighborhood school. But my parents were very avid on our education and wanting us to be able to have other opportunities. And, you know, I saw my parents working hard, making sure that my siblings and I, it's 5 of us, that we all were educated in a decent environment academically and also socially as well. And it takes a lot. You know, as a child, you don't really see it. But now as an adult, you know, making those phone calls, connecting, networking with other parents, just looking and researching other resources, because my children, they're my top priority. You know, our children, they are our future. And I want my children to grow and to be able to be in a safe environment and to do better than what my husband and I have done. Not to say that, you know, my, you know, we, my husband and I have not fulfilled many areas in our life, but all parents should want to desire to see their children do more than them, because that's what makes our generations to come more powerful, you know, more loving, more successful, and more empowered in what they do. So it's not an easy cakewalk. It does take a lot. Especially in terms of having other areas in life that you're focusing on, having work or even being in school. But it was definitely a priority for my husband and I to make sure that all five of our children would be educated in a decent environment, in a place where they felt love, a place where they felt connected, a place where they felt heard and that their voices are listened to. And again, I really thank my parents for setting that foundation, because I would say for even my, not only just my husband and I, but even my siblings with their children, there it's the same thing with them. You know, they have done the same exact thing for their children. And I'm grateful that we've had this opportunity. Again, it's been tough. It's been some challenges along the way, but through it all, we realized that we're more than overcomers. You know, we realized that with these challenges that have come, it's helped us to be even better and even sharper in these areas in terms of parenting.
I think it's so impressive, and you can I hope all of the listeners can hear the passion and the commitment in your voice of a mom doing all she can for her children, and, and particularly where you know that education is so key, and the schools in your area, the neighborhood school that your zip code would tell you have to go to is not the place to be, and you wanted to find that right fit. And look, around the state, not everybody faces that. You know, I live in a community, as I've talked about on the show with Eddie and Chris before, you know, I coach Little League softball, and the girls on my team have the opportunity to go to great public schools. Some of them go other places, but they have that opportunity. Whereas people in your neighborhood think long and hard about whether their kids should go to the public school, but there's limited options. If you would, you've agreed to talk to us, you've talked to others, you've done ads. What made you want to speak out? And in my words, I would say, what makes you want to speak out and help parents you've never met and kids you've never met? What makes you want to take that extra step of helping these other people as well?
Yes, great question. You know, honestly, because I feel as though, especially even with the Lifeline Scholarship, we have choices in life. You know, each and every one of us have a choice, and we have a choice to be the creator of our future. And I really want to encourage parents to really explore, to think outside the box, to go outside the norm, you know, not always stick to the traditional way of doing things, but look at other opportunities that are available for us. Yes, it's been a struggle. You know, there have been challenges, but things are getting better, you know, slowly but surely. And we all have to work together. We have to connect with one another. We have to share our resources with one another. Even in the area in which where I grew up at as a child, you know, a lot of the kids in my neighborhood, they went to the public schools. But then you begin to see a change. Why? Because parents were connecting. Parents were sharing those resources with other parents and encouraging other parents to again, to think outside the box. I think from my own personal experience, I remember, you know, as a kid, my siblings and I, we attended the Montessori Genesis 2 private school. It was a private school, a small private school in West Philadelphia. And a lot of parents in my area, you know, they've never heard of the school. But it was my mother. Someone took time out to share with my mother about Genesis. And then my mother shared it with other families in the neighborhood. And before you know it, you know, we had three or four different families who had students traveling out, traveling to West Philadelphia on a bus to go to school. So it's that connection. It's that building those resources, building those relationships, and connecting with other families to know that life has so much to offer. And why would I, it would be wrong of me to hold everything to myself, you know, not to share with other families about the opportunities that my children have had. Why would I keep those to myself? You know, it helps us as a community to be stronger, to be wiser, and make better decisions when we can share and be a voice. So I've always been an avid voice for families and wanting other people to have the opportunities that have been so near and dear to my life and also for my children. And to be able to see other families take advantage of those opportunities, it's great. It honestly, it makes you feel good as a person, as a human being. And it just to me, it's kind of like a domino effect. If I can do that for another family, then a family can do that for another family, and so forth and so forth. So it's very important for us as parents to use our voice to support other families, especially in times where things are very challenging right now, you know, with gun violence and many of the things our education systems throughout the country, also in the state of Pennsylvania. It's our duty, in my opinion, to really support and to be that helping hand, to be that extra hand for another family, because it takes, it's one less worry for them. It's one less concern, you know, along with the other things that we're constantly doing during the course of the day. But it's one less concern for our families to know that my children are safe and to know that I have another family that's there for me and that's willing to support me and to help me during those times when I need that help.
That's terrific. I had the chance to talk with you and meet with you, and as I've talked to others, you know, I've written in Broad and Liberty a number of columns on school choice, and more I've been writing about parents and your stories, and you can hear the passion. I don't know that I can adequately do it when I write about it, but you certainly are bringing it forth here. I just want to ask you a final point.
Sure.
Because Eddie and I know that every legislator in Philadelphia is listening. And if they aren't, we're going to make sure they hear you. But if you had a closing thought, if you had the opportunity to look at and talk to the state legislators from Philadelphia who will really hold the balance as to whether this will happen, what would you tell them? What would be your final argument to them, the final case, the final plea you'd make to them to help make Lifeline scholarships a reality?
Sure. When I think about Lifeline Scholarship, I think of the empowerment that comes from it. And when scholarships, when programs of such are available to our young learners, to our families, it makes the family feel confident. It makes them feel useful in society, if that makes sense. We need legislation. We need support in these areas of our education. If we look at the data, I don't have all the stats and statistics, but if you look at the data, we're struggling in our educational system. And it's really important for our parents to have the choice of where their child can be educated, the choice of where their child, their educational journey in this life. And it's very important for our lawmakers to make those decisions and to think about our children, to think about, you know, our generations to come. We have to do better than where we are. And it's very important with Lifeline scholarships and programs of such that we feed into the lives of our children, that we sow seeds so that they can grow, that they can prosper, that they can thrive in our society. And when you really think about it, you know, education plays a huge role in the way our systems and way things are set up here in our country. And it also supports our way of thinking. So I'm asking lawmakers, legislators to support this scholarship, to support this program, because it's very much needed. Our children are the future. We want to see our country, our society, our world grow and to be a better place. We don't want to see issues of gun violence and homelessness and the rise of the infant mortality. We want to see more. We want those to be areas in life that we've tackled. Now let's concentrate on other areas. So with this program, the Lifeline Scholarship, and with the help of our local leaders, honestly, what they're doing is building a kingdom of wealth for our young people so that they can thrive, so that they can be educated properly, and that they can feel good about themselves and share that with the next generation to come.
Wow. Amen. We should take you to Harrisburg and go door to door. Thank you. Thank you so much, Tamika, for, you know, sharing as only a mom can, but also a mom who understands the challenges and has been willing to roll up your sleeves. It is so heartwarming. It is so impressive. I'm so in awe of how well you have fought and how quickly you've learned all the issues. You're a great spokesperson, and let's in these final days work together to get it done. So thank you. I look forward to seeing you at the bill signing.
Yes. Thank you guys for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. Thank you for allowing me this platform.
Oh, of course, Tamika, thank you so much. And I'm going to get the name right on the last try, I promise. Nawala Penja. because I heard you
say it.
There
you go. Perfect. Yeah. Even the first time, it was okay.
Thank you so much, Tamika. Good luck. God bless. And we will be writing our legislators for sure.
Oh, thank you. And God bless you both as well. Have a great day.
Amen. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. 8:45 on Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer. Guy Shiraki. By July 4th, we can get something done. Something big.
We can make history again.
Yeah, right? I was trying to keep the politics out of it, but maybe I can talk a little politics on the other side.
Sure.
That's what I find the politics in everything, man. I got to stop.
Okay.
Again, 8:45, Fast Eddie Chiasso in for Chris today, along with Guy Shiraki sitting in as co-host for this hour. We got Victoria Pajalis on the other side of the board. Hey. So we'll be right back. Chris will be back with you July 5th, by the way. Today has flown by. The 8 o'clock hour guy is co-hosting with me. I'm sorry, folks. 8:51 on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. Fast Eddie Chiasso in the big chair behind the big microphone today for Chris. And I will be with you through Thursday. So I just want to give kind of the rest of the schedule here because, as Chris says, you know, he gets the calls, the texts, the emails. Now he's got the Harumph Society. They'll say, hey, Dr. Chris, where did you go? Chris is fine. He is on vacation. He's taking a much-deserved vacation. We had a lot going on. And I actually am hoping tomorrow to get to the, I know I said I'd have that for you. The cigar night that we did last Tuesday. Chris and Dr. G, great conversation. But he knew it was going to happen. And I'll probably leave the lead-in up to that in the recording as well. But I will have Chris's answer to Dr. G when pressed in person on Trump versus DeSantis. So you're not going to want to miss that if you were not a part of our cigar night. All right, 8:52, co-host Guy Shiraki in the other big chair, and Victoria's in the chair I usually sit in.
I'm in the kids' chair, but that's okay. I'm just happy to be at the table.
Now, well, I guess just before, I got one more from here story coming that I'll tell, but Victoria, you don't have to hit the sounder yet because we just saw up on CNN there's some big court decisions coming down. I don't know, are they ruling on all of this stuff today or today and tomorrow or all throughout the week? What are we looking at?
All throughout the week. This is the end of the session. They'll drip out these major decisions, one or two a day, now through July 1st.
Oh, man. So we have the big school choice vote to make that happen by July 4th. We have all these SCOTUS decisions coming on July 1st. And I will tell you, Guy, I have to lean on your legal expertise a little bit. You
get what you pay for.
Oh, man. Am I charged hourly? Mm-hmm. Or no, by the minute. I don't even know how they do it. It's bad.
I have to ask my wife. She's the real lawyer.
Okay. So we are looking at the student loan debt relief. Ah, now this is something that's come up quite a bit. Is it constitutional? But before you answer, I saw this in action over the weekend. I have a cousin who has student loans. I have now personally for myself seen the vote buying in person. This is not really that liberal of a guy. He's like, no, well, we got to get this done. We got to get the student loan debt done. I'm like, why? I said, well, what are you talking about? He is all in for the student loan debt relief, whatever the heck you want to call it, that's going to be up for SCOTUS. So, Guy, what do you think? Is it constitutional or not?
I just would say that I don't want the listeners to think that the fact that my wife and I helped pay for the tuition for our three kids, that biases me in any way, and that that others would get to go on our dime. That doesn't bias me in any way. Mm-hmm. But having said that, look, this is not a case of is this a good idea or bad. I think it's a horrible idea because there's no such thing as debt forgiveness. There's nearly $1 trillion. As the proponents say, there's nearly $1 trillion in student loan debt. Okay, so it doesn't go away. It's just a transfer. We take it from the people who borrowed the money, and we spread out the loan to everybody. It's as if you have a mortgage, and we knock on the door of everybody on your block and say, hey, we're going to make Eddie's mortgage go away.
Ooh.
But we're going to make it go away because everybody on the block is going to pay an extra $100 a month because we're all going to help pay off Eddie's loan. So Eddie's loan didn't go away. It's we just spread it out. But whether you like that idea or not, this is a simple question. The Supreme Court was asked to decide a very simple question. Did the President of the United States have the authority to wake up one day and sign an executive order and say student loans are wiped away? The first $10,000 or $20,000 of student loans away. Whether you think that's a good idea or not, I ask you to think about what the question is they're being asked to decide. Did the president have the authority to act like a king and wash away $1 trillion in debt or transfer it? And I think the court in a majority, and hopefully in a strong majority, is going to say no. Even if you think it's a good idea, let's try it the good old-fashioned American way. Let's introduce a bill, have debate in Congress, and then pass a bill and have the president sign it. We don't have a king in America. We have a president. And the president is to sign bills passed by Congress. So I think a majority of the court's going to say, whether you like it or not, the president did not have the authority to do this. I hope they uphold the rule of law, whether you like it or not. I think it's a horrible idea, but it's a doubly horrible idea when it's done by a king signing an executive order.
Well, I mean, you lived through what happened in Pennsylvania. We have dealt with a king before, and the people had to say that it was unconstitutional. So now this is the top dog. This is the Supreme Court of the United States. Can Biden just wipe $10,000 of student debt off of the rolls just completely for individuals in this country? Yes, you will pay for it down the line. That's for sure.
It doesn't go away, right? And the money is owed to the Treasury, and you just can't. You can't look. You can't. The government wastes money. The government hides money. You can't hide $1 trillion. The right. Bookkeepers will notice when we go to pay for a road or a bridge or border security. A meat inspector, whatever your favorite thing is, that money is gone and it's going to come from somewhere. It's going to come out of your pocket and mine and our kids and our grandkids. So, again, I think it's a bad idea. I mean, it's bad public policy. I think it doesn't teach personal responsibility. It's bad for the budget. But worst of all, it should never be done by executive order. If you truly think this is a good thing, do it the old-fashioned way. Tell your member of Congress to introduce a bill and vote for it and send it to the president. Hopefully, we'll get rid of this really bad policy, and hopefully we'll uphold the idea of a bill becoming a law and not having executive orders rule the day.
It hasn't happened, but now I worry. So say all things go well in 2024. Say the Republicans catch the presidency and keep the House, maybe expand a little bit. And if not, even out the Senate, maybe take a seat or two. In the majority. So say it's a perfect world. Do you think they afford the Democrats the same luxuries that the Democrats have had since they've been in the majority? So in other words, yes, the old-fashioned way to do it is to introduce a bill, have it pass through Congress, and the president sign it. Do you think the Republicans then go back to this, to playing nice and doing things legally, or do you think they do the same thing that Biden and his Democrats have done the last few years?
Well, as... To make my plug that I made on the show a few weeks back when I was in Miami, when President DeSantis, or President Trump, when President DeSantis, I hope the first thing that the next president does, and I hope it's a Republican, is repeal all these executive orders. Let's get back to the rule of law. We don't elect kings. So I hope the first thing we do is roll back executive orders that are meant to take the place of laws. The second thing is I hope the next president enforces the rule of law and the Constitution. And it's to protect the Constitution of the United States, but that's to protect us. So that's to seal our border and do the things we need to do. I hope that what we do is remind people that this is a nation of laws. So one, get rid of the executive orders. Two, uphold the Constitution. And three, protect the citizens of the United States. And then let's take our ideas. I mean, we as Republicans, you know, put my cards on the table, no secret. As a Republican, let's put our ideas on the table. Let's talk about school choice. Let's talk about sealing the border. Let's talk about empowering people. Let's talk about American energy independence. I believe the majority of the public in Pennsylvania and nationwide agree with those things. We shouldn't need executive orders. We shouldn't need games or gimmicks. We should be able to go into any town hall, any community, any county fair and say, should we be energy independent? Should parents be in charge of their kids' education? Should our border be secured? We should win on every issue. Let's go do it.
All right, Guy Shiraki, my co-host for the 8 o'clock hour today, both in for Chris. Look, President Trump or DeSantis, I'd be happy with either one. That's who we're talking about here. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. WNTP, Philadelphia, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM.